Pharisees who questioned Jesus in today's gospel reading were trying to trap him by tempting him to give a simple answer to the question that Hebrew scholars had debated over the centuries. What is the greatest of the commandments? By Jesus' time, there were 613 commandments found in the Hebrew scriptures. Which one was the most important? Jesus responded to the Pharisees' question with two well-known quotations from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The first comes from the sacred Jewish prayer called the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, God is one. You shall love your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. This prayer comes from the parting words of Moses to the Israelites just after they were given the Ten Commandments. Even today, this prayer was recited by pious Jews every morning and every evening. The Pharisees were well acquainted with this prayer. The second quotation comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' act of combining these two seemingly unrelated scriptures into the great commandment in today's gospel was earth-shattering in the ancient world and is foundational to the idea of what it means to be Christian. This was not the easy answer the Pharisees were seeking. Jesus' answer demanded a new way of living, a radical new way of loving. The Pharisees loved God by all accounts. They showed this by following and observing the Mosaic Law, each and every one of those 613 commandments. But they were far from loving their neighbors as themselves. We can remember Jesus chiding the Pharisees for laying heavy burdens on the people and not lifting a finger to help them with those burdens. Jesus is calling each and every one of us, just like he did in the Jewish people nearly 2,000 years ago, to a radical new way of loving that draws us so close to God that we become willing to give up our lives out of love for both God and neighbor. Jesus tells us that we must first start with the love of God, the first and the greatest commandment. Without grace, the life of God living within us, it is impossible to love our neighbor as we should. Jesus tells us that we must love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. He is telling us that we must love him with everything we have, our most inner being. God wants every part of us to love him. This can be a scary thought, but Jesus is not saying that he wants to take over our lives like a robot or a zombie. He wants all of our love because he has already freely given us all of his love. He loves us more than we could ever love him. He has given us his perfect, unconditional, eternal love to save us from our sins in order that we might become the saints that he created us to be. It is only after this commitment to love God with our whole being that we can even attempt to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our secular culture today still struggles with questions surrounding love. Isn't love something that's spontaneous and exciting? If one is obligated to love, is it really love anymore? How can love be commanded? These questions stem from a false belief that love is primarily a feeling or an emotion. Indeed, love can be associated with an intense emotion that one practically falls in love. But these feelings often fade and go away. When that happens, our modern culture wants us to believe that love is also gone, that love has somehow died. Fortunately, godly love, the love Jesus speaks of in the gospel, is not based on emotions and does not die. It is eternal. So if God is love and God is also eternal, love must be eternal. It is meant to last forever. Our modern culture teaches us that love can die because we think of love as mainly an emotion. Godly love goes way beyond our feelings. Rather, it is an act of the will, a decision to give oneself totally and freely for the good of another. Love is an act of total self-giving, the act of dying to oneself and living for our God. The enemy of love is not anger or hatred, but rather selfishness. When one refuses to give of himself, he cannot love as God loves. Selfishness blocks our ability to discover the beauty and greatness of God's love. When we are selfish, we are stuck focusing on ourselves and not others. We become like the Pharisees, focusing on only their own personal fulfillment of the 613 Jewish laws and not the spirit of the law, which is love. Love is the decision to lay down our life for the good of another. Since love is a decision, it can be commanded. God was the first one to practice love through the creation story in Genesis. And later, he loved us so much, he gave his only son, even though we were still his enemies because of our sin. Jesus has commanded us, love one another as I have loved you. And since love is a command, it has to be done. One of the problems with the world is that we consider love as a noun rather than a verb. Love is not just a subject of discussion or study. Rather, love is an action. It's something we must do as Christians. So how can we start to better love as Christ loves? I would suggest a three-step process. First, we must realize that there are no shortcuts. Loving as God loves is like learning to swim. You really have to jump into the water and get wet. The Holy Spirit is a great instructor, but he can't make any progress unless we are willing to take the risk and dive in. So the first thing we need to do is to tell God that we sincerely want to follow his commandments and love him. This is how we love God, by wanting what God wants, by conforming our wills to his will. Holy Communion is the perfect time to make and renew this commitment. But after deciding to take the risk, diving in, we have to make sure there is nothing blocking God's grace inside of us. Without that grace, we can't make any progress. So the second step in loving like Christ is making frequent use of the sacrament of confession. Once we have decided to do our best and have made sure there are no sins blocking the flow of supernatural grace, we are ready to get to work. This kind of work is very simple, but very difficult. It starts by treating those people closest to us with selfless love. We have to start with our family members, our spouses, our children, our brothers and sisters, then move to others, our co-workers, our teammates, our classmates, and on to the rest of the world. But it's important that we start with those closest to us. We've probably all found out that it's easy to put on the appearance of Christ-like love with people we don't have to deal with on a regular daily basis. But we aren't interested in appearances. We are interested in the courageous lifestyle of Christian love. And that path means, with God's help, putting God first, others second, and ourselves third. In closing, let us pray for the grace to love God with our whole being and love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us also pray that through the reception of the Eucharist in this morning's Mass, we might be strengthened to boldly and courageously love as God loves, with our whole being, and that we can love our neighbors as ourselves. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.